Binabating ko kayo, mga kapatid at mga kaibigan, sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo, sa pagpapatuloy ng ating pag-aaral sa paksang Christian Holiness sa ating Sunday School. Tayo ay nasa paksa pa rin ng Means of Grace, mga kasangkapan ng biyaya na itinitindig natin sa prinsipyo that God supplies graces, but He ordinarily uses ordained means to activate the Spirit and the Word. And sa proseso na familiar na sa atin, simula sa layo ng magpakabanal at inaalam natin ang mga kasalanan at mga biyaya na dapat nating linangin, mga pamantayan na dapat nating ipamuhay, walang kumpleto riyan kung hindi natin gagamitin ang mga kasangkapan. So, execution of means completes the cycle. And in the study of the means, we are now in the subject of discipline, at ito ay itinitindig natin sa tinatawag nating marks of a true church sa Reformed theology, na tulad sa isang roadmap, ang essential mark ay the proclamation of the word and the gospel, but there are two maintaining marks para manatili tayo sa daan ng pagiging tunay na iglesia. Kailangan ng administration of the sacraments, that is biblical, and the exercise of discipline. Bakit may ganitong mga kategorya? Because a church may be true at one time without the maintaining marks, but without maintaining marks, a church will not perpetuate for generations. Sa ating pag-aaral ay nakailang paksa na tayo o pagtatalakay ng church discipline na inumpisahan natin sa positivo, the formative discipline, which is the discipling of one another that should occur in the church. But the concentration, understandably, has been on corrective discipline, the application of measured censure for an offender. At ilang katanungan ang binigyang sagot natin dito, where is authority of discipline derived, ang tinatawag na power of key. Sinagot na rin natin, what offenses merit discipline, matters for censure. Sinagot din natin ang what are the ways of imposing discipline or modes of censure, and then what are the reasons for exercising discipline, defining the objectives, and sinagot rin natin noong nakaraan, what are the boundaries of imposing discipline or the warning against abuses that will tell us or remind us of the tension that exists between the pastoral and congregational jurisdiction as well as the private and public distinction. Now, hindi pa tayo tapos dito sapagkat haharapin natin ngayon ang maaring isa sa mga kadahilanan ng pagkakaiba-iba ng pananaw, ng approach sa usaping disiplina sa iglesia, and we are looking at probably comparison to Matthew 18 is also one of the most controversial issues or passages in scripture concerning discipline. We will be asking the question, should a charge within the church be brought to the court? Dapat bang dalhin sa korte ang anumang mga bintang o mga usaping disiplina na nasa loob ng iglesia? Now, this is going to be a study of that passage which has caused so much controversy in some portions of church history as well as in present experience of churches. And that is the passage of 1 Corinthians 6. Gaya ng sinabi ko, katambal ito ng Matthew 18 na siyang pinaka-kontrobersya pagdating sa usapin ng disiplina. Ayokong masabing iniiwasan ang ganitong usapin, at sapagkat may iba na ganito ang kanilang ginagamit at iniiwasan nila ang magiging katuturan nito. At gusto kong harapin natin ng buong katapatan ang sinasabi ni Pablo in 1 Corinthians 6. The reason is because lawsuits between professing Christians are common today. And if there is anything I could say of that fact, it is very ugly na merong huwes na kinakailangang mamagitan sa mga Kristiyano. And in this drawing, you can see the shadow of the cross supposedly between the antagonists, and this simply is a picture that should not be acceptable. na ang krus ng Panginoong Hesukristo ang siyang dapat na umiiral sa relasyong Kristiyano sa Iglesia, at pagkatapos ay tumatawag tayo ng huwes na karaniwang hindi mana ng palataya, o di naman kaya ay ang kanyang mga pinapairal na mga tuntunin ay hindi ayon sa mga tuntunin ng Iglesia. Now, many are justifying this as a fair way of settling disputes. Sinasabi nila ito ang makapagtitiyak na legal ang ating mga hakbang na gagawin. So they seek the experts of the law in the society, and commonly that means the court. But for Christians who take the Bible seriously, those who take Scripture seriously need to justify this in light of 1 Corinthians 6. Kung basta-basta ka pupunta sa korte na hindi mo isinaalang-alang sinasabi ng salita ng Diyos, eh ito'y pagwawalang bahala sa salita ng Diyos. At talagang ating ipaalala na ang Iglesia bilang komunidad ng kaharian ni Kristo ay pumapailalim sa salita. The Church as kingdom community is under the word. Now let me be very clear, this is not dismissing the place of law as common grace. Naniniwala tayo sa papel ng batas sa lipunan, at tayo ay dapat sumunod sa batas ng lipunan hanggat maaari na tayo ay makasusunod. Itinalaga ng Diyos ang mga namumuno sa ayon sa Roma 13. Kaya ano man ang posisyon natin, this should not be taken as dismissing the place of law in society, which is part of God's common grace. However, where there is collision, kung may pagbabanggaan, the word must supersede human law. Hindi natin sinasabing lagi na lang malinis ang usaping anong batas ng lipunan nang dapat pairalin, anong batas ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa kanyang iglesia ang dapat pairalin. May mga panahong magbabanggaan ang dalawang iyan. Naranasan yan sa Bagong Tipan. Ang mga apostol ay patawa ng parusa ng pinakamataas na korte ng lipunan noon, ang Sanhedrin, at sila'y pinagbawalan ng mangaral ng pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. At matatandaan ninyo, the classic answer to that prohibition by a legitimate authority, in the words of the Apostle Peter, we ought to obey God rather than men. Kaya nagbabanggaan ang batas na pinaiiral ng lipunan at ang batas na pinaiiral sa iglesia. At kung magkagayon, dapat maliwanag sa atin ang sagot natin ay mauna ang salita ng Diyos. So tingnan natin ang 1 Corinthians 6 at basahin natin ang verses 1 to 8, and we can do no less if we are going to be serious with our study. So here goes. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. So that's the passage that is in question. At ano ang dapat nating makita sa sinasabi ni Apostol Pablo dito? Tingnan muna natin ang mahalagang konteksto nito. In the context, these distinctions are being made by the Apostle Paul, and particularly two distinctions or two pairs that are distinguished are important for us to consider. The first is the distinction between church members and those who are called outsiders. May mga miyembro ng iglesia at may mga tagalabas. Now, yung mga tagalabas, maaaring dumadalop ng iglesia, gaya ng nakita, nangyari sa Acts 5, na may mga dumadalop pero ayaw sumama ayaw maging miyembro ng iglesia, and they are still outsiders even if they attend the assembly of the church. So the distinction is clear. And Apostle Paul says in the verses prior to 1 Corinthians 6, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? Pansinin ninyo na even apostolic authority is not to be imposed on the outsiders of the church. Outside the church, which means society, hindi doon iiral ang mga alituntunin na pinaiiral sa iglesia. We are to judge those inside. Ang mga bagay na pagpapasyahan ng iglesia ay dapat nasa loob ng iglesia. So this is an important distinction that will have a telling effect in the way we interpret 1 Corinthians 6. The second pair of distinction is distinction between unbelievers living sinfully and members living in sin. Eh, liwanag din ni Apostol Pablo yan in 1 Corinthians 5, 9-11. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Then he clarifies, I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. So, ang pinag-iba naman dito ay maaring sinasabi mo, hindi ba dapat meron tayong uri ng pagtrato sa mga makasalanan? Eh, pinag-iba ni Pablo, may mga makasalanan na nasa mundo na hindi niya sinasabing iwasan natin. Ngayon, meron namang mga makasalanan na ang kategorya na sa mga binanggit ni Apostol Pablo dito ay talagang nasa uri ng pamumuhay na kontra sa kanyang inaangking pananampalataya. Sa mga gayon ay merong disiplinang ipapataw ang iglesia, at ang magiging kahulugan nito ay ang pag-iwas sa kanila. So we need to distinguish between immoral people, sinful people who are not members of the church, and then members of the church who are living in sin. We continue to associate with sinful unbelievers. Ang sabi nga ni Pablo, if you do not associate with sinful unbelievers, you will have to go out of this world, that is, die, and go to heaven where you will only associate with the sinless spirits. Eh, hindi ganoon, kundi habang tayo narito sa mundo, walang masama na nakikipagkaibigan o nakikisama tayo sa mga may mga makasalanang pamumuhay, ngunit hindi naman sila nag-aangking mananampalataya. Iba pagdating sa mga mananampalataya, you must excommunicate a member categorized as criminal. Eh, ganitong mga uri ang dapat nating tingnan, na kapag ganito na ang uri ng pamumuhay ng isang tagaloob ng iglesia, panahon na nagawin siyang tagalabas o excommunicate. So, in interpreting with that context in mind, in interpreting 1 Corinthians 6, I want to address some of the interpretations, actually two of such interpretations that had been offered by some of those who are trying to present their case, and interpretations I have heard personally. One is that we must first stress what this passage is teaching before we go to those interpretations. The teaching is that believers will judge the world on the day of judgment. Yan ang itinuturo ni Pablo. Pagdating sa paghuhukom, ang mga mananampalataya ay kasama sa mga hahatol sa mga makasalanang hindi mananampalataya, ang mga nasa mundo. And therefore, the implication he draws from that, even now, bago pa dumating ang paghuhukom, kung ganun ang papel natin sa araw ng paghuhukom, even now, ang mga sigalot ng mga miyembro ay dapat na inaayos sa iglesia. Disputes of members should be settled in the church. He says in the very first verse of our passage, if any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Eh, parang pagtatanong ito, pero pagtatanong na gusto niyang ipalabas ang pagkamangha niya o pagkagulat niya na ganito ang nagiging ugali ng mga tao sa mga miyembro sa Corinto. A good church for Paul is expected to have wise members who can judge. Kaya hindi dapat dalhin sa mga tagamundo na mga hindi kabilang sa iglesia, sapagkat sa loob ng iglesia dapat ay may mga sapat na mga marunong upang gumawa ng sapat na pagkahatol. 6 verse 5, I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? Again, more of a rhetorical question. It is impossible to be a good church and yet have no one to be able to judge wisely in disputes between brethren. So ito ang itinuturo ng 1 Corinthians 6, 1 following. Na dahil hahatol tayo kasama ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa huling araw, dapat ang mga dapat hatulan ngayon pa lamang ay magagawa nating hatulan. So, tingnan natin ang inaalok na interpretasyon ng iba. Does the judgment of the church concern only trivial matters? Ito'y iniharap sa akin ng ilan na the church may judge trivial matters only, but serious ones should be in court. Really? Have you studied the passage? The passage is so clear and you are reversing what Paul is saying. Ang sinasabi niya rin, ang ganyang argumento is totally reversing the argument of Paul. The argument of Paul is from the greater to the smaller. Kung gagawin niyo yung mas dakilat, mas malaking bagay, ang hatulan ng mundo, ay mas maliit na bagay ito. Yan ang point ng trivial. Hindi niya sinabi na trivial lang ang hatulan ng iglesia pag malaking bagay na ipaubaya mo sa mundo, which is contrary to what Apostle Paul is saying. Ang sabi niya ng 1 Corinthians 6:3, do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? Kaya hindi niya sinasabi na hatulan mo lang yung maliliit na bagay. Eh, kung ganyan ang pagkaunawa mo, I am sorry to say, it reminds me of what 1 Corinthians 8 says, that little knowledge puffs up. Yung may katiting kang na intindihan, tapos iniisip mo, alam mo na kung ano ibig sabihin, na hindi mo pinag-aralan ang talata na ginagamit natin. So those who say that this has nothing to do with serious issues and only trivial matters, you are reversing the argument of the apostle. Bringing to court matters of dispute, Apostle Paul makes clear, betrays failure of the church in mandate of discipline. Kapag dinala mo sa korte ang bagay na nasa loob lang ng iglesia, dapat ito ay kabiguan sa mandato ng disiplina. It denies the role of wise people in the church who are expected to be able to judge in the disputes between brethren. And it also brings the testimony of the church in disrepute in the eyes of the world. And so Paul would hear none of that precisely because of the role of the church in the big judgment that will happen on the last day. We should be able to judge trivial matters. He is not teaching that we can only judge trivial matters. Ang isa pang interpretasyon ay, should not a crime be brought to law for just judgment? So the idea here is pag mga matters ng personal, yes, the church should decide. Pero pag criminal na, it should be brought to the court, which again reverses what Apostle Paul is saying. But just look at the context. The context is about fraud in business. And the matter of fraud in the context is a crime under Roman law. So, krimen na ito ang pinag-uusapan, hindi lang personal conflict. And ang point ni Apostle Paul, for as long as there is willingness to settle in the church, it should be so. Hanggat nandun ang willingness, yung kagustuhan ng mga nasasangkot sa sigalot na ayusin ito, pagkasunduin dito sa loob ng iglesia, ganun dapat mangyari sa mga miyembro ng iglesia. Kaya ang nagtutulungan para pag-abutin ang dalawang nagkaroon ng sigalot, nagkaroon ng pagkakahati o hiwalay ang kanilang relasyon, ay inaalalayan ng iba para magmuling magkaroon ng pagkakapit sa isa't isa, as this illustration portrays. Then, Apostle Paul even brings it to the extreme. Avoidance of court is to the point of, if it has to be, accept to be a victim. Yan ang sabi niya ng 1 Corinthians 6, 7, and 8. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. So he's rebuking those who are guilty of cheating and doing wrong, but instead of bringing to the court, Apostle Paul is saying, for those who are the victims, then prepare yourself to accept that you can be the victim of a wrong and even of a fraudulent activity, but you do not bring this to the court. That is how strongly Apostle Paul felt about this issue. Which brings me to the third and final question. When may a member be brought to criminal liability? Sinasabi pa natin dito na walang panahon na dadalhin mo sa korte ang isang matatawag ng kriminal sa kanyang ginawa. And this has been an unfair judgment. It is wrongly charged that the church is covering up for criminals. And this is an unfair charge born of ignorance. Hindi niya alam ang sinusunod ng iglesia sa salita ng Diyos. And on the other hand, hindi ibig sabihin na pinababayaan natin kung may talagang kriminal na dapat usigin sa korte. But if a member is categorized as a criminal, I've always said this, excommunicate first. If you have come to the conclusion that his activity, his deed, is something that categorizes him as a criminal instead of a Christian, then excommunicate. And once excommunicated, then prosecute as far as the victim is concerned. That's again what Paul is saying. God judges those outside. Sinabi niyang una, I'm not the one. It's not the apostolic authority within the church to judge the outsiders. God will judge them. And of course, when God judges, He uses also the courts in His judgment of the wicked. Pero para sa isang nasa loob ng iglesia, bago mo siya ilantad sa hatol ng Diyos, nagagamitin ay ang korte. Ang sabi ni Apostol Pablo, purge the evil person from among you. Tanggalin mo sa presensya ninyo ang gayong masamang tao. And pinapakita nito, the church is not taking the role of the prosecutor. The church itself is not to file suit against anybody, because that is not what the church is as kingdom community. We bring it to the Lord. We pray for it. But we do not become servants of the court of law. What we can do is to dismember a person in the church from membership, and then he becomes a legitimate object for prosecution and lawsuit. So this pertains to crimes that contradict Christian profession. At may mga ganyan na kapag ganito na ang pagkakakilala sa isang tao na sa kategorya ng kriminal, at ito'y isinalungat sa pagiging Kristiyano, sabi ni 1 Peter 4:15 and 16. Pinagsalungat niya, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, etc. So you see here the two contrasting categories. Peter is telling us, first is the criminal and then the Christian, which means that if you become a criminal by category and by standing, then you are not a Christian. And the act of the church is, as we have seen in a previous lesson, to recognize that this is a member who should not be a member because of his criminal life, and he should be excommunicated. So hindi sinasabi na hindi kailanman na hindi dadalhin ng isang kriminal kahit pa siya may pangalang Kristiyano sa korte, pero kung siya ay miyembro ng iglesia, dapat muna siyang itiwalag para maging bahagi na siya ng lipunan na hindi bahagi ng komunidad ng kaharian ni Kristo. Kaya in answer to the question, when may a member be brought to criminal liability, unang-una charges must be weighed against morality and gravity. Hindi naman bawat kasalanan ilalagay mo siya sa kategorya ng kriminal. That's why we have the weighing scale as the universal symbol of justice in any society, sapagkat tinitimbang. At para sa atin, kasama sa tinitimbang ay legality versus morality. It is possible that something is illegal but not necessarily immoral. May mga Kristiyanong nagdadala ng mga Biblia sa isang bansang pinagbabawal ito. So in a sense, they are doing something illegal but not necessarily immoral. Kaya hindi lahat ng paglabag sa batas ay ikakategorya mo na kriminal o immoral. And then, consider also, as we've already indicated in a previous lesson, aggravation versus mitigation. Anong nagpapabigat pang lalo ng kanyang kasalanan? Ibig sabihin, may mga oportunidad siya, may mga pribilehyo siya na ginamit niya para sa masamang paraan. And mitigation ay pag sinabi natin may nakapagpapabigat sa kanyang kondisyon, kung kaya't nagawa niya ang anumang kanyang nagawa, na hindi natin tinatakpan ang kanyang ginawang kasalanan, ngunit tinitingnan na natin kung ito ay nakapagpapabigat o nakapagpapagaan, which the law also weighs in its decisions. Kaya dito, tandaan natin, as long as membership is sustained, ang prinsipyo natin, grace will overweigh human law in the church. Hanggat handa ka na ituring siyang kapatid at miyembro ng iglesia, mangingibabaw ang biyaya sa batas ng tao sa loob ng iglesia. Ngayon, kung hindi mo na makita ang biyaya ng Diyos sa kanya, sinasabi mo na siya ay dapat kabilang sa mundo, itiwalag mo at hayaang ang korte ay humatol sa kanya. But for as long as he is a member, we must be able to say, grace overweighs human law. Isang magandang halimbawa nito sa Bagong Tipan ay ang kaso ni Onesimus. Si Onesimus ay isang alipin na tumakas sa kanyang amo na si Philemon. And in Roman law, it was a capital offense. It was a crime. So Onesimus is in the category of a criminal as far as Roman law is concerned. But under the tutelage of the Apostle Paul, he got converted. And this time, Apostle Paul is appealing to Philemon in these words, "It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord." Isn't that a very beautiful demonstration of what grace can do? Eh kung ang pag-iisip ni Philemon ay kagtulad ng pag-iisip ng ilan ngayon, minsang nagtumakas si Onesimus, ang magiging isip agad ni Philemon ay kriminal ito na dapat usigin ng batas. Eh hindi ganun. Ang pag-iisip ni Pablo na pinaiiral niya ang biyaya ng Diyos, dapat na si Onesimus, bagamat kriminal sa kategorya ng batas ng Roma, ay sa batas ng pananampalatayang Kristiyano, mas pairalin ang biyaya. Kaya sa usaping ito, ay gusto kong gamitin ang sinabi ni John MacArthur sa kanyang MacArthur Bible Commentary in his comment on 1 Corinthians 6, suing another believer in a secular law court was a daring act of disobedience because of its implications related to all sin, the displeasure of God. Believers are to settle all issues between themselves within the church. Such conduct as suing a fellow believer is not only a sinful shame, but a complete failure to act obediently and righteously. Christians who take fellow Christians to court suffer moral defeat and spiritual loss even before the case is heard, and they become subject to divine chastening. Strong words, but fitting words to conclude our consideration of this controversial issue. We must abide by the word of God more than what is expected by human law. Kaya sa tamang pag-iisip sa ganitong usapin, sa isip natin, God's word clearly forbids settling disputes of brethren in a court of law. Mali iyon. So ang tamang diwa ay will always seek the wisdom within the church for a settlement of disputes of brethren. There are wise brethren who can help those in conflict to settle their conflict if they are after reconciliation. Yet ang tamang ugali, I will by God's grace be of help to brethren to seek reconciliation rather than bring disputes before unbelievers. Tumulong ka sa pagkakasundo ng kapatirang nagkakasigalot sa halip na ikaw pa ang mangbuyo sa pagdedemandahan ng mga kapatiran. Kung pairali natin ang nananatili nating kasalanan, iisipin natin, because the courts are more legally equipped, there is nothing wrong in seeking legal remedies against brethren. At ang magiging ugali nito, when I feel aggravated, I will readily bring a lawsuit to let no one take advantage of me. And whether he says this or not, what's behind this is I do not care about Christian testimony. What a sad commentary to one's attitude that does not submit to the Word of God. Sa usaping disiplina, ipanghamon natin, membership in the church requires the readiness to extend grace. Ganyan ang hamon ng kabanalan sa pagiging miyembro ng iglesia. At kahit pa sa usaping disiplina, lagi nating tandaan na ang hinahanap natin ay hindi gantihan, hindi sakitan. Ang hinahanap natin ay kabanalan, na kumisan kinakailangang may panunugat para maipanumbalik tungo sa daan ng kabanalan. Sana ay bigyang seryosong pag-iisip natin ang mabuting layunin ng Diyos para sa disiplina sa iglesia upang magtulungan tayo sa kabanalan. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang. Muli kayong pagpalain mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo, at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.